Thank you for joining us for the CMC Weekly Podcast. God has a fulfilling and rewarding life for you as you pursue His plan with all of your heart. Our prayer is that you'll find direction and wisdom as you connect with us through our weekly podcast. Join us now for a message from Pastor Tim Brooks.
Well, are you ready to receive the word today? Turn to Romans chapter 16 and hold your place there. As the Apostle Paul is wrapping up his letter to the church in Rome, he says something very, very interesting and very much overlooked by the church today. Romans chapter 16, verse 19. But everyone knows that you are obedient to the Lord. This makes me very happy. I want you to be wise in doing right and stay innocent of any wrong. The title of today's message is obedient. Is obedient. So much for us to see in verse 19 that I believe we've missed. We've missed it both in the world and now we've missed it in the church. The world's way of thinking, there are no absolute rights, there are no absolute wrongs. Every person comes up with right for themselves and you do what you feel in your heart is right. Each person has their own moral compass. Well, that thinking of the world has now conformed the church's thinking, and we've got the church literally ordaining and endorsing and accepting things that God calls sin and that God says He hates. We have adopted a world's way of thinking where right and wrong are concerned, and when we're teaching in our church, each person do what's right in your own heart. Now, I want you to think that thought to its end. You know, a lot of problems that we get into in life is we jump up and we do something, but we didn't think it all the way to the end. Let's think this thought all the way to the end. If each generation changes to embrace where the culture is, there is a tragic future ahead for all of us. Because nothing gets better on its own. Write that down. Nothing gets better on its own. Everything deteriorates. The only place there is an upward evolution that works is in a liberal college classroom. But everywhere else in life, you will never find one case of an upward mobility in evolution. Things evolve on a downward spiral. I have a norm. I have a standard for my yard, for my house, for my truck. And I fight daily to maintain that standard. I've never walked out and thought, "Woo, I need to sling some mud on my truck. It just gets clean overnight. I don't know why. I need to throw me some McDonald's wrappers in the back of this truck. This is way. I don't know why this thing just stay." You are fighting constantly to keep that truck clean. It's a constant fight to maintain the yard, to maintain the house. Let me tell you, guys, if you were waiting to see if that gutter will get back up and nail itself back up on the house, it ain't going to happen. Get your ladder, get your tools, get your drill, get out there and fix the gutter on the house. It's not going to ride itself. As a matter of fact, if you wait much longer, the gutter on the other house is going to, side of the house is going to fall down. There is a constant trend to spiral downward, whether we're talking about your truck or your house or your car or your yard or your life. It's a downward spiral. When you take God's standard and His word off, you will spiral downward every time. And the standard that we are living is a biblical standard, and we are constantly pushing back, wiping off, nailing up the deterioration of a society. And that's what the church does. The church is not to be a social club that does some social benefits. The church is a constant push back to a society that is constantly eroding the home and the family and lives and health and joy and peace. There's an erosion of that, and the church is a constant push against that. Romans 16, verse 19, I want you to be wise in doing right. I want you to be innocent of any wrong. There is a clear right and wrong. And verse 19, there is an obedience to the Lord. There's an obedience to God. The Lord sets the standard of right and wrong, and we are called to obey that. This is not a popular message in churches today. We just are not going to preach that because we're afraid we're going to offend somebody. We're afraid we're going to run somebody that might give some money to the church off. We're afraid that we're going to run people off. And so we've quit preaching obedience. This culture does not set right and wrong. An individual does not set right and wrong. And all of you teenagers, listen, your friends don't set right and wrong. So don't tell your parents, well, all my friends are doing it. Well, my friend said, well, my best friend said, your best friend don't set right and wrong for this home and this family. We run this home and this family on biblical principles of right and wrong, and your best friend doesn't set those. For us this year with our theme, a holy generation, I want us to see in verse 19, everyone knows that you are obedient. The question is, are people shocked to find out that you are a Christian? When it finally comes out at work or at school, are they shocked? Does your actions and your words in school, on the job, reflect your obedience to the Lord? Verse 19, everyone knows you are obedient. Let's go back just a couple of verses. Go back to verse 17. And now I make one more appeal, my dear brothers and sisters. Watch out for people who are causing divisions and upset people's faith by teaching things contrary to what you have been taught. Stay away from them. Such people are not serving Christ our Lord. They are serving their own personal interest. By smooth talk and glowing words, they deceive innocent people. I want you to watch out. I want you to watch out for people who upset your, oh, everybody's doing it. You hadn't done that yet. Everybody, there are people that will upset your faith, and you got to watch out. Come on, dads, tell your teenage daughters about what 17-year-old boys think about. They think about their own interest. That's what they think about. They think about their own interest. And I want my teenage daughter to know there are boys out here that will serve their own interests by smooth talk and glowing words about how gorgeous you are, about how they can't live another moment without you. Life is not worth living. You're 14, they're 17, and life is not worth living without you. Watch out. Watch out. Come on, teenagers, watch out for people serving their own interests. Your friends don't decide right and wrong. We serve Christ. We don't serve our own interest. We want to be known for what? You want to be known for how good you are at basketball. You want to be known for how much money you got. You want to be known by how popular you are. You want to be known by the size of your house. What do you want to be known for? We've got to be known for our obedience. We have to be known for our obedience. Matthew chapter 28, I want you to look at this. What we refer to in the church is the Great Commission. Most everybody in church knows this by heart. Matthew 28, verse 18, the Great Commission. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you even to the end of the age. The Great Commission is not about getting people saved, it's about holiness. See, God wants the world to know Jesus and obey Him. And obey Him. It's not just about getting somebody to bow their head and slip their hand up. Let me just tell you, the devil knows Jesus. The devil knows, well, Tim, we got to get people introduced to Jesus. The devil knows Jesus. What we got to do is make disciples and teach people to obey all that He commanded us. It's not just introducing people to Jesus. The devil knows Jesus. We've got to make disciples and teach people to obey all that he's commanded. And the church is fumbling the ball in this generation. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1, because we had these promises, dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body and spirit, and let us work toward complete holiness because we fear God. What is holiness? Holiness is obedience to the Lord. It's obeying him. We've been talking about this verse over and over and over this year. I hope you have this memorized. Jude verse 4. Defend the faith God has entrusted to his holy people. Some ungodly people have wormed their way into your churches, saying that God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral lives. God's marvelous grace does not allow us to live immoral lives. It simply doesn't. Just question for thought. If, and we hear this on TV a lot, if the war on poverty is worth fighting, how much more should be the war on our sin? You may have never thought about this before. There are very, very, very few verses on taking care of the needy, on poverty. And there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of verses on be holy as God is holy, obey him, purity, follow Christ. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of verses on obeying God. Now, as we study the Bible, our priorities and our focus, our main pursuits have just gotten way off. Okay, now let me stop and say, I don't want nobody to write me a letter. I don't want nobody writing me a letter and rebuking me because I'm against feeding hungry people. Don't send me a scripture about feeding hungry people. So just don't even do that to me. There are scriptures that say feed the hungry, and we need to be doing that. I couldn't be more in agreement with feeding and taking care of the needy. What I'm telling you is there are three or four verses that say that. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds that talk about being obedient to the Lord. But preaching a sermon on feeding the needy doesn't run anybody off. When you start preaching on obedience to the Lord, people get offended and quit because they don't want to obey the Lord. And the church won't talk about being obedient to the Lord and raising up our children to live a godly lifestyle. And that's where we are. Our number one focus as a church has got to be on living obedient lives before the Lord. That's what our focus is. What is your personal calling? What is your ministry? What area do you serve? If you ever win Miss America, what will be your platform? I mean, you need to think about that. You could. What will be your soapbox? All that is really good, but our calling is to be obedient. That's what we're called to do. We are called to live holy lives. And as I look at churches the world over, we have outreaches, and every church should have outreaches. Don't write me no letter. We ought to have recovery programs and homeless emphasis and jail ministry and food banks and unwed pregnancy centers and schools and counseling. The church ought to offer counseling, and we ought to give gas vouchers, and we ought to just give everybody that doesn't have a job, we ought to give them some money. I mean, I'm all for all of that. All of that is good. And all of those have two or three verses that command us to do that. Clearly, we're commanded to do that. There are verses that tell us to do those good works and have social concerns of our church. There are verses that command us, and churches ought to be doing that. But how is the church focused on three or four verses and refuse to preach thousands of verses that talk about be obedient to God? About purity, about living a holy, godly life. When you look at the word obedient, obedience, purity, holiness, right living, all of those are being obedient to God. When you start looking at those words, there are literally thousands of places from beginning to the end of the Bible that calls us to do that. Yet the church is good as long as it has a few social issues that it handles. While the church has ungodly people saying that God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral lives, and that God loves everybody. The point today is we in the church have lost a desire for holiness. We've lost a desire to live right. We've lost a desire to raise our children to live right and to be obedient to the Lord. We've lost the desire to pursue that. As a matter of fact, what we're telling parents today is you don't have a gender-revealing party for your newborn baby, the baby that hadn't been born yet. What you do is you let that child grow up and decide what gender he's going to be. Come on, we're telling parents that you don't say and you don't decorate a child's room blue or pink. You allow that child to grow up and decide what gender he's going to be. See, we are doing that while we pat ourselves on the back because we feed the hungry and we're concerned for taking coats to the homeless. I'm not against feeding the hungry. I'm not against taking coats to the homeless. What I'm telling you is we're going to have to obey God and say, baby, you are a girl. God formed you a girl, and that's who he intends on you being. Somebody's going to have to say that, and when the church won't say it, it won't get said in the world. When the church is scared to say it, it won't get said. Here we are. Here we are. We just lost Ephesians 5:15. Look carefully at how you walk. There's a disregard for our personal holiness. Ephesians 5:4, let no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude jokes, which are out of place, come out of your mouth. We've just lost that. Here's what I want you to watch. As we in this church begin to live obedient to God, you watch his peace come. Watch his joy. Watch his presence begin to fill your life. Now I want to talk about obedience today. Because we're missing this. We mentioned the word obedient, and you're going to ruin my chance of having any fun. We look at obedience as a bad word. And here's what I want to tell you. All that you are looking for in life, all that you are working for, all that you are hunting for, comes as a result of obedient life. The fact is, you're not looking for a house because you're not sleeping outside in the rain right now. You want a bigger, you want a better, you want a newer. You're not looking for a car because you don't have any way to work. You just want a bigger, a better, a newer. We want a house not to keep us from sleeping outside, but we want a house that does something on the inside of us. We want a car not to keep us from walking. We want a vehicle that does something on the inside of us. Well, Tim, my car has lots of miles on it. It still gets you down the road. It doesn't provide joy, satisfaction, contentment, peace, and that's what you want a new car for. You get in this car, it's a piece of junk and I'm miserable. It's miserable. I gotta have a new car. You're looking for a car to feel something that a car can't. Look at 100% of the car commercials if you disagree with what I've just said. Look at 100% of the car commercials. Zero, zilcho, nada, not one are about transportation from one place to another inexpensive. Not one. They're all about this car producing an image, producing joy, prestige, satisfaction, an awe. We're not talking about getting you from home to work. We're talking about riding down Highway 1 in California, the ocean waves here, all of your hair blowing out the convertible, and the music is playing, and you're going around this curve really, really fast. I want that, so I have to go buy that car. And you get it, and you bring it home, and your kid spills ketchup in it, and you're driving it to work. Somehow it didn't get you down the road around that curve with your hair blowing and all of that music. See, you bought. The reason that car commercial is there is to sell you on the fact that if you will buy this, it will create this for you. It's not about getting you from here to there. We're so disillusioned and we are being programmed. Look at every car commercial. Look at what they're programming you to think. They are programming you to think if you will buy this car, it will produce what that commercial is all about. And it won't. It never will. I'm for a nice car. Buy you a brand new one every 6 months. I want you to have the nicest one out. I like nice cars. I mean, just get one and squeal the tires off of it. I love this. I mean, get you a car. I'm just telling you, don't buy it thinking it's going to do something on the inside of you. Don't buy a car buying what that commercial is selling you. It's transportation from here to there, and the car you're driving now is getting you from here to there. And why you're getting another one is because you got an itch on the inside that can't be scratched. As a matter of fact, while I'm into this, watch all advertising on TV and look at what the world's programming us to do. You'll never see a jewelry store advertise the amount of gold in each piece of jewelry in their store. They don't talk about that. You'll never hear them say, buy this wedding ring, because when you get divorced, like you probably are going to, you can sell this wedding ring for $1,000 more than you pay because of the quality of gold that's in the... No. You put this necklace, you put this ring on, and look, oh my gosh. See, I want a woman to do for me what that woman is doing for him, so I've got to go buy me two necklaces. I mean, look at what they're selling you in that. You'll never see a cologne commercial that tells you how many hours this cologne will smell good on you. That's all I'm interested in. Will it last till 10, noon, 3, 5? That's all I'm interested in. I want a cologne that will last the longest. Somebody, that's all. You'll never hear them mention that. But see, you are a jerk and no girl likes you. But if you'll buy this cologne, 5 women will just fall all over you. They sell that this cologne is going to do something for you, and it won't. It won't produce what they're telling you. Like, I'm getting ready for this sermon. Last week, I saw a laundry soap commercial. And this woman is dancing with this laundry soap. And her hair is going. The music is in her house. And she dances in this glass house overlooking the ocean. And the waves are coming in and the music is playing. And ladies, let me tell you about laundry soap. It goes in your utility room that smells musty. There's clothes all over the floor, and you can't buy laundry soap and dance on the ocean. That's not what that's going to produce for you. But they were selling this land. Oh, her hair was... You ain't going to have any more hair than you got now, and it's not going to fly around. It's just matted to your head. And that laundry soap ain't going to make your hair look like that. But this commercial convinced all the women that this laundry soap would do this. It didn't say nothing about getting dirt out of your kids' clothes. Laundry soap will not produce in you what that commercial just told you it would. And you need to know that. But we are in a culture that is telling us that stuff will produce peace, joy, happiness, contentment. And so when you get, see, you need a house. That's what you need, because a house will produce that. And you get your own apartment and it doesn't. So what you need to do is own a house. So you finally buy a house and it doesn't. So the reason it isn't is it's not big enough. And so you buy bigger and it doesn't. So what you need is a house in Colorado and a house in Florida and a house in Arkansas. And that doesn't. And so we are in an endless pursuit of buying stuff to try to produce what is only produced by a life that is obedient to the Lord. A life that is obedient to God. Young people, you get a truck, it won't work. Jack it up. It still don't work. Jack it so high your girlfriend has to get a ladder to get up in the darn thing. It still don't work. So write you some crude, dirty words and put them in the back windshield. Let everybody know what you... It still doesn't do for you what you wanted those words in that windshield to do for you. It still doesn't do. Sell the darn thing, get you a bigger one. The message is, following the programming of this world and thinking like this world is teaching us to think will have you fighting your whole life looking for something that'll never happen for you. You're trying to make stuff do for you what stuff won't ever. what you are looking for comes only through a life of holiness and obedience to God. And when you live that kind of life, you begin to enjoy the house you're in. I enjoy my home. I love my home. I love being in my home. It's because I'm not looking for my home to do one single thing for me. Let me tell you, I love my wife. We have fun together. Driving down the road, we're laughing, we're talking, we enjoy being together. Because I'm not looking for her to produce one thing inside me. See, God, I got to get another way. When you think that a mate, a husband, or a wife will produce what you're looking for on the inside, then you got to get another one. And then you got to get another one. And then you get another one. And so I just recommend you getting 8 or 10 or 12. Just keep getting them. Here's what I'm telling you. They won't ever do that. When you find yourself happy and satisfied and content in the Lord, you get in your vehicle and you love it. You walk in the door of your house and a smile comes on your face. Whenever you find your joy and your contentment in the Lord, you enjoy and love your business. You enjoy what you do. You look forward to it every day of your life. But when you don't, you'll quit that job in 6 months, you get another one. You'll quit that in a year, you'll get another one. Because you're convinced it's my boss, it's the amount of money they're paying me, it's it, my coworker. You're convinced that a job is supposed to provide happiness and joy and contentment. And this one is not, because I'm not happy, I'm not full of joy, I'm not content. So I got to go and get another one. And you always quit about a month before you couldn't have got a raise or a promotion or an advancement in your job. And you live your life moving from marriage to marriage, state to state, job to job. You live your life in pursuit of something that's only found in an obedient life. I want to take you back to the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, everybody's familiar. From the very beginning of creation, mankind was called to be obedient to the Lord. Listen carefully. Obedience allows you to live in the Garden of Eden, and the only thing that gets you out of the Garden of Eden is disobedience. When you live obedient to the Lord, you live in the Garden of Eden, a blessed and abundant life. When you live disobedient to God, your life is sentenced to thorns and thistles and the sweat of your brow trying to make life work for you. Obedience puts you in the garden. Disobedience puts you out of the garden. Let me just read a handful of scriptures of literally hundreds and hundreds. Let me read a handful. Deuteronomy 12, be careful to obey all of these words that I command you, that it may go well with you and your children after you. 2 Corinthians 10, we capture every rebellious thought and teach them to obey Christ. Exodus 19, now, if you will obey me, you will be my own special treasure. You will be my kingdom of priests, my holy nation. Exodus 23, if you are careful to obey me and follow my instructions, I will be an enemy to your enemies, and I will oppose those who oppose you. Job 36. If they listen and obey God, they will be blessed with prosperity throughout their lives. All their years will be pleasant. Obedience isn't a bad word. It's not a confining word. It's not a word that's going to destroy your chance of having fun. Obedience is the way all of your years are lived. Very pleasant. Obedience produces what you are looking so hard for. Joshua 1, be careful to obey all the instructions in the law. Don't deviate from them. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Obedience isn't a bad word. Obedience isn't a confining word. Obedience is the key to the abundant life that you're looking for. Every day you live, just try to be obedient to God. I'll stand. Lord, today, our pursuit is being obedient. Lord, that our life is spent just saying yes to you. Direct us and guide us. And Lord, in those times when we fumble the ball, we get back on track, we dust ourselves off, and we say, here I am, continue to use me. That you, Lord, and that all of those around us find us obedient to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the Christian Ministries Church Weekly Podcast. Join us each week for more messages from CMC.